Psalm 6 is not complicated, but I'm going to use two other scripture to help you understand it. So when you're looking at Psalm 6, here is, let's read the first couple of verses, and then I'll give you the story behind it. Psalm 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Now right there above verse number 1, in most Bibles it'll have to the chief musician of Neginoth and Sheminith, a psalm of David. So we know God used David to pen it, but what does Neginoth and Sheminith mean? Neginoth means stringed instruments. So hopefully you have that in your Bible. You just mark it over there, stringed instruments, and then what is Sheminith? That's an octave. That's an octave. Did I give you that last week? Good. So he says here, this is a praise, and this is what he says here. Now let's look at verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Stop. Rebuke me not. Lord, please have mercy on me. Lord, don't rebuke me. This is the first penitential psalm in the Bible where somebody is asking for forgiveness and to have mercy. Another penitential psalm would be Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What's another penitential psalm in your Bible? Psalm 51. O Lord, have mercy on me. When David was found out, Nathan the prophet said, you're the man. Thou art the man. And David fell on his face and prayed, oh my God, forgive me. That's a penitential psalm. What's another penitential psalm? Psalm 73. So Psalm 6 is the first of penitential psalms. It's the first one in the book of Psalms. But there are others. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm 73. Some would use Psalm 105. I don't, but I don't have a problem with it. But you understand a penitential psalm is where somebody is, they say they're penitent or they're sorry and they're asking for forgiveness. Here he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. What is happening here in David's life? This psalm, God has told, well, let's look at that. God has told David that the baby is going to die, but the baby is sick, but it hasn't died yet. So go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's look at the story behind this psalm, 2 Samuel chapter 12, and watch this. I'll just read this to you real quick. Watch what happens. 2 Samuel chapter 11 is when the horrible sin with Bathsheba takes place, the adultery. Chapter 12 is when the man of God is sent to King David. And watch this, verse number 9, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? This is Nathan's words to King David. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Isn't that sad? Uriah took his death note to Joab. He carried his own death letter, written by the king, said, here, Uriah, go give this to Joab. And the letter said, when you're in the heat of the battle, pull back and leave Uriah out front. Let him get killed. He took his own death letter, and it says the whole thing displeased the Lord. But then God reminds David, you not only killed Uriah, you killed him with a heathen sword. You didn't even execute him yourself. Then he says, look at verse number 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Who was that? His own son Absalom. Then watch this, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. And under Ahithophel's counsel, Absalom did that with David's concubine binds on the roof. And God said, watch, you say, what a horrible thing. Why did God do that? Look at verse number 12, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. He said, you tried to hide it, and I'm going to expose it. What David is dealing with here is chastisement for doing wrong. David, the man after God's own heart, the only man in the Bible that it says that about, God says, I'm going to spank you in such a way that you'll never stray from me again. God could have killed David for doing it, but God said, I remember when you were young and when we were close and you were after my heart, but you backslid and then this wrong followed and God said, I'm going to spank you in such a way that you'll never get away from me again. What does the shepherd do when the sheep goes from if it keeps on straying, it takes it. That's what the staff is for. Lays the sheep down and it breaks the front leg of the sheep. Then it binds it. The shepherd binds the leg. Then he does what? Puts it on his shoulders. And he carries it because the little stinker can't stay close. It's too stupid. That doesn't help, does it? God said, you've backslid. You've been away from me and I've missed you. And I'll say it once again. I'm going to spank you in such a way you're never going to stray from me again. Watch this. Watch what he says. Verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. In other words, God could have killed David for it, but he didn't. Then watch this, verse number 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. First of all, he said, what you've done, he said, your whole army is talking about how you had one of your main men killed to cover up a pregnancy because you couldn't control yourself. This is wreaking havoc. Then he says, you've given great cause to the enemies of the Lord. Now word circulated. Boy, if this had been in the day of Facebook and Instagram, it'd been worldwide. You know what I mean? I hate that stuff. But watch this. He said, look at the last part of verse number 14. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. God said, I'm going to kill the baby. And then look at how God refers back to it. In verse number 15, it says here, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare. She's married now to David, but God says, that's Uriah's wife. That was wrong. Then here he says, Uriah, it says here, wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. That is the background for Psalm 6. The child is sick, and David knows he's being chastened by the Lord, or spanked. And so as he prays, he realizes God's already told him, I'm going to kill the baby. It will not live. And David is now praying, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy displeasure, in thy hot displeasure. Now, there are some things in the Old Testament that I as a Christian don't pray. Do you understand? Jesus bore my sin on Calvary. Do you understand? In other words, God's angry with the wicked every day. God's no longer angry with my sin. Do you understand? So there's some things that David prayed. There's a few things that he prayed that when I hit my knees, I do say this, Lord, I'm sorry. And there have been times with my sin that I wept, but I don't say, Lord, please don't rebuke me in your hot. There's no threat of hell with me. Do you understand? So that's the background to Psalm 6. Now that you understand, here we go. Psalm 6 is the baby is sick. David knows it's going to die, but in praying with his face on the ground, he prays Psalm 6. Now, what is in his mind? The chastisement of God. When a child of God sins, aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? But what can you lose? Your joy, you can lose your testimony, you can lose your inheritance with the Lord, but your salvation cannot be lost. So everybody needs to understand, you know, they always say, you know, oh, you Baptists, you know, you believe once saved, always saved. You can't teach that because then anybody will live any way they want. I always go to David. Did David get away with sleeping with another man's wife? No, he paid for it. God said, the sword, your family will fight constantly until you die. David didn't get away. I think David paid for it. Do you understand? God has ways. In other words, when we blow it, God has ways of spanking his children that helps them. That's why the word punish is not used. The word chasten is used in your Bible. What does the word chasten mean? Now, I'd like you to, if you want to understand chastisement, you go to one more passage. We started with Psalm 6, right? Then we went to the background at 2 Samuel 12. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Ready? Hebrews. Go to the New Testament. And if you don't read it in this light, I think you need to. Oh, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. Nobody sins and gets away with it. Nobody. No, I don't lose my salvation. Praise God. I'll never go die and go to hell. My sins are forever gone. But what can I lose? Joy that I'm saved. And until it's confessed, no happiness, no peace, right? So the word, first of all, you're now at Hebrews chapter 12. What does the word chastise mean? If you look up, I looked it up, the definition. The word chastise means to correct the fault of someone so they improve, to discipline or train. That's what the word chastise means. I use it interchangeably with spank. But proper spanking from a child for a parent should be for the betterment of the child. You say, well, why else would you spank the kids? I've watched parents spank kids because they were embarrassed. That's the wrong reason to spank a child. Oh, you acted that way and they're out. You know what I mean? However it is. Did you know God never chastens you because you embarrass him? Think about what I just said. God says he's never embarrassed that you're his child. God spanks or chastens us so that we will improve. Parents, I think they make a mistake when they're, who saw that? Who cares who saw it? Focus on the kid. This kid has got 18 years in your house, and when he's done or she's done, it's over. Make sure they get what they have to make it on their own out there, because we all know life is not easy and no one's going to cover for them. You got 18 years and then it's done. Give them what they need. And when God says, I want you to learn parenting from me. And God says, I chasten or I spank or inflict pain to correct so that you improve. It's never senseless. It's never because I watch some parents spank and it's ridiculous. They spank if they're in the mood. But if they don't want to correct the kids, well, I'm busy, so I don't want to deal with it. And then the inconsistency in the house starts. And then the kid never knows. Well, I got a spanking for this one time, but now I'm not getting a spanking for. Oh, this time I get yelled at. Oh, okay. Oh, this time I get ignored. And the discipline, well, anytime that does, then guess what starts happening in the child? Bitterness. And then that starts to grow. And they start, what does bitterness do? It defiles the child. Biggest thing, I remember in our house, it's very important. You put, what do we spank for here? It's on the refrigerator. You tell a lie, you get a spanking. You know why? Because God says several times in the Bible, a liar shall not go unpunished, ever. Did you tell a lie? God says daddy has to spank. Put down on paper, what do we spank for? And then you stick to the guns. There might be six or seven things in each household. But there ought to be things you... No, you don't hit mommy. No, you don't say no. No. A nuclear cloud is about to form over the house. I never told my dad no. My life would have passed before my eyes. And other things. You say no to your parents, you get a whipping. Then I think another thing that's a little goofy is they set age limits. Well, once they're this old, then they don't get any more spankings. That doesn't work. Hopefully, as they get older, they get fewer and fewer. If they're getting more and more, they're supposed to get more and more when they're younger. It's not supposed to increase. Now, there were some kids in our Christian school, they would have done well if they just would have went right to the principal's office every morning, reported for their spanking, and went to class, because their day would have went a lot smoother. And I told a couple of them that, too. I said, did you get your daily spanking today? Look, it makes my life easier and your life. So, at any rate, chastisement means to correct so that they will improve. That's how God works. So now that you understand the word chastisement, let's look at this passage and watch this. I know we're starting with Psalm 6. And everybody, when you read the Psalms, because the Psalms cover all the topics in the Bible. You understand? You could start with Psalm 6 and we're going in a direction. We're going chastisement tonight. But you could take all of the Psalms and the verses and do a Bible study your own and literally go a different direction. I'm just showing you one avenue from one Psalm. So we're now in Hebrews 12. Watch this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He starts the chapter with that verse in your Bible is so important. God says we're running a race in the Christian life, and the grandstands are full of those who've gone on before. When I've preached funerals, I said, said, if they're saved, praise God. It's a little more difficult doing a funeral for people that are lost. But if they're saved, God says in Hebrews that they're up in heaven now looking down on us. I've had so many people come up to me on that one statement. Do you really believe they can see us? Take them right to Hebrews 12. God says we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Just picture a football field and the view of the earth is us. And everybody in the grandstands, all the Christians who've gone before, King David and Zechariah and Noah and Moses, and they're all in the grandstands, and they're going, come on, you could do it, run! It says we're all in a race, right? Is that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1? You ought to get that pictured in your mind. God's trying to encourage us as His children to do what? Grow. That's what the book of Hebrews is. Let us go on to perfection. Let us grow up. Quit being a child and grow. How do you grow spiritually? First of all, realize you got a whole bunch of people watching you and they're cheering you on. So He's trying to encourage them one way. How do you run this race? Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How do you make it in this race? You look to Jesus. He set the pace. He sets the example. He's the one we're following. So you make it in this race by looking unto Jesus. Now He's trying to encourage us in Hebrews 12. So He says this. Look at verse 3. For consider Him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That word wearied, if you aren't careful, you can become sick in your mind as a Christian. Because verse 1 tells you to do what? Lay aside the sin. Every one of us has a besetting sin. Every one of us has at least one thing, some two, some three, of something we struggle with every day. And God says, if you're going to run this race, lay aside the weights and lay aside the sin, because what makes you sick up here? Your failures. Everybody can run this race but me. I can't finish. Now this is going to correction here in about three more verses, but stay with it. He says you're in a race, and if you're going to keep on going, you got to look to Jesus, lest you become sick in your mind or wearied. I can't do this. I'll quit. And quit going to church. I'll quit reading my Bible. You'll become wearied or sick in your mind. Defeated up here. So to the point where you quit and you faint. Then, so keep on, looky here, he says verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So now verse 5 is going to start the chastisement teaching. So to encourage us to grow as a Christian, God says use Jesus as an example, and then realize, ready, look at verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. What's the two things that causes us to quit? First of all, our own sin, our struggles, when we don't get victory, and we could, that discourages us, and we become wearied to the point where we get sick in our minds, and we start thinking the discouraging thoughts. I can't be a good Christian. Everybody can live for Jesus except me. I'm a loser. God gave you everything He gave everybody else. But what's the second thing that will make us stop? Verse 5 says, remember when you're spanked or chastened by God, don't quit. Because He says, let's keep on reading here. For whom, look at verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So that tells me this, when God chastens you, He doesn't reject you. I asked the man that taught me soul winning, I said, boy, so God spanks us when we do wrong. He said, He sure does, son. I said, well, how do you know when God's spanking you? And old Gene Johnson, he took his belt, son, undid it, took his belt out. He said, if I bend you over right here and whack your behind, he said, you gonna know who's doing it? He had a great way of tact. You know what I mean? I said, well, yes, sir. He said, son, God spanks you. You know God's doing it. You ain't got no question. I said, okay, that answers the question. So he put his belt back on and I was glad. The reason I'm telling you that is, what's the two things? Hebrews 12, beautiful, it's all beautiful. But here he's saying, if you're going to run this race and not get wearied and quit, Realize, don't quit because of your sin and your failures, and don't quit when you're spanked by God. A lot of Christians do. They'll get spanked by God, they sin, and then they realize, oh, God spanks them, and they're like, God's rejecting me. No, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And then look at the next verse. He's teaching here on chastisement. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Watch this. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. What's the word bastard mean? It means a childless, it means a child that has no father. The word bastard used one time in your Bible right there, and he says if there's no such thing as a Christian that's been saved very long that doesn't get spanked by God. And if you are a child, you think you're saved, but you've never been spanked by God, he said that's proof that you're not God's child. That tells me something. That tells me something. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, I'm trying to watch the time, and I've probably spent too long on it. Let me just give you a synopsis of this chapter. Ready? We've just read verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 4, listen, verses 1 through 4 say our problem is sin, right? Lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Then when you hit verse 5 to 11, he talks about chastisement. That tells me this. Most of our trials and struggles and pain in life is due to chastisement, not sin. Does that make sense? I gathered that from this chapter. That tells me this. Please be careful, Christian. If you've been saved very long, God can spank you, and God does. But don't think God's rejecting me. God says, I'm spanking you because you're my child. You know what's wonderful for us to pray for our children? This, dear God, when my child does wrong, help them to get caught immediately. That's a good prayer. Don't let them get away with anything, because the longer they get away with it, the more that'll train their character, and the more that'll destroy them. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Read Psalms. We'll find it here later. Lord, judge me. Oh Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, search me, oh God, and know my thoughts and know my heart. Try my heart. Lord, don't let me get away with anything. Have you ever? You say, that's a dangerous prayer. We're already, if you're God's child, you're going to get spanked. So why not have a soft heart that's open to God? I know I'm not perfect. So Lord, instruct me, teach me. And it's open that way versus, hope I don't get caught. Do you see the opposite? But very few people, they're like, oh, well, I don't know if that's extreme. Dear God, help my kids not to get away with anything. They do wrong, Lord. Help them get caught so that they can get corrected and their character can grow. And Lord, give me wisdom. And it needs to go both ways as far as where we're praying for that. This is the chastisement chapter. Everybody, this doctrine of chastisement is all through your Bible. I know we might have only made it to Psalm 6 tonight. Just listen closely. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord comes from the foundational truth that God judges sin. God sees everything that you do. If you fear God, you live like God's watching you all the time. You fear God. That's why blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What? He's living. That's why there are some Christians, they live as if there's no God. Well, I went out and did this, and then I did this, and then I said this, and then do you know God sees it all? Do you not fear God? And if you do wrong as his child, he's going to whip the tar out of you. He's going to take you out to the woodshed. Like what one guy said, when dad told his son, he said, I'm going to beat you, boy. He said, if they ask you at school what happened, you tell them the woodpile fell on me. God does spank his children. And there should be, as a Christian, a thought that goes somewhere like this. God's right here and he sees everything I do. So I'll live this way. And I fear God. Fear what? If I do wrong, he'll spank me. And I don't really want a spanking. So as you get older, hopefully as you get older as a Christian, you're getting fewer and fewer spankings, but you still get spanked. There are some Christians, their conscience is so seared, it doesn't matter what God does to them. I was going to read you those verses tonight. Leviticus, this is the first time it's found. Just listen real close. And Leviticus says this, and if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. That's Leviticus 26. Job chapter 5 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Psalm 119. Can you take your Bible? Go there. Go to Psalm 119. Look at verse 67 and 75. Psalm 119, verse 67. I want to show you these, and then we'll probably wrap it up here. Psalm 119, look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. God, I know why you spanked me. Before you spanked me, I was going astray. I was backsliding. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. I know why this is happening. I know why I lost my job. I know why the car wreck. I know why this happened. Because you've afflicted me and you're trying to correct me. Hebrews 12 is foundational. Now everybody, tonight we started in Psalm 6. Then I gave you the background for it. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And then if you want to understand the doctrine that David is dealing with as God uses him to pen Psalm 6, it's the doctrine of chastisement. It's all through the Bible. Would you like to, let's read it the last time. Ready? Go to Revelation. Go to the last book in your Bible. We'll end with this. Revelation chapter 3. To the church at Laodicea, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, as soon as he's done, right there when he's telling them, in verse number 17, he tells them, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, you don't even know, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you're so much better than you are. You think you're so much more spiritual than you are. And he says, verse 18, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And verse 19 is what I wanted to show you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There's two words there. If God says, I spank you and rebuke you because I love you. Let me go back. Now let's turn it around. You can't be loved of the Lord without being spanked. God spanks us because he loves us. So don't quit when you're spanked. God's not rejecting you. God says to David, I'm going to spank you in such a way that you'll never stray again. And David didn't. He never got away from his God. Christian, the doctrine of chastisement is all through the Bible. Psalm 6 is the first penitent psalm in the Psalms. It's not the only one, but it's the first one. And it starts you on a journey, but I wanted to show you what he was thinking. And it is a doctrine that is all through the Bible. Let's pray.